Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
But I don't think we'll be seeing him at Buffalo anytime soon. And again, the start of training camp will be the next critical moment. If they don't have a deal done there by then, does James Cook show up for training camp? Does he risk the penalties that come along in the collective bargaining agreement if he doesn't show up? But look, we've seen the Philadelphia Eagles this offseason reward Saquon Barkley. We've seen the Baltimore Ravens reward Derrick Henry. We have not seen the Buffalo Bills pay James Cook yet.
Adam Schefter from his podcast. A couple things he said in there in addition to that. He's basically disconnected himself from the organization in the city, put his house up for sale. I don't think we'll be seeing him in Buffalo anytime soon. So that's that.
Do we think we will see any report at some point in the next month? Sources, James Cook has asked for a trade.
That is a proper step here that is not always necessary. I found in looking to see how Jonathan Taylor's situation played out, he asked for a trade.
And often guys ask for a trade as part of a negotiation. How many times can you think of blank ass for a trade? You don't even want to believe it anymore. Like, what's the point of talking about a guy getting traded? Because how many people can you name that have asked for a trade that didn't get traded? This offseason, Myles Garrett.
Yep.
Myles Garrett took it to a level where he wrote a letter saying, like, I'm done.
He did.
And then 2 weeks later, he signed.
Both Debo and Ayuk in San Francisco asked for trades.
Yes, that's right. Trey Hendrickson asked for a trade a year and a half ago.
Yep.
I mean, he might.
T. Higgins.
He might get there, but he still hasn't.
T. Higgins asked for a trade.
T. Higgins. You mentioned the Jonathan Taylor one, so.
Yep.
It's like 90%, 80% of these ask for a trades don't end up in resulting in trades. So I'm almost wondering that about Cook. Like, Cook might still want the deal from the Bills to stay in Buffalo, and one maneuver you could take if, like, you can't get them back to the bargaining table and you are maybe you're $5 million apart and you're trying to get it to like $13 or $14 million and just neither side will really budge. Like, what do? You could do that. That would ramp it up a little bit. It would make it a little bit uglier, but as you're seeing in all these other situations, you ask for a trade, you sign back a month later. If James Cook signs for $12 million a year, I don't necessarily think that'll happen, but if he signed for $12 million a year a month after asking for a trade, nobody's gonna care.
Yep.
At least I don't think people are gonna care. I don't think fans will care. I don't think the Bills, I'm certain, wouldn't care. There's also Hard Knocks.
There's Hard Knocks,
all
right.
That laying out on Hard Knocks, you know. Not to say that would drive their negotiation, but they could want to get it done before that. I don't know. Just, I'm already mentally bracing for a day where that's happened and still believing that it's not really, it's not at a critical mass yet, the whole situation.
803-0550, Jeremy and Joe. So, you know, the asking for trade things, like I like to point that out every once in a while, because when a team moves on from a player, like, well, he asked for a trade. Well, lots of players do.
Yep.
I don't know if it's 50-50 if a guy does get moved. And again, like you said, Cook has not done that. Is that the next escalation? I mean, he could also show up tomorrow, and Schefter could be wrong about all this, but Schefter reporting that he won't be there tomorrow, and he won't be for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
There's 6 weeks, 7 weeks till training camp, so he's got that time. And then once he gets there and holds in,
mm-hmm.
you know, when he holds in, does HBO talk to him? He's there. We'd like to talk to James Cook. Does that happen? It could. Because Cook
could. Listen, the HBO would want to do it. If I were the producer, that would be the first thing I'd want to go do when I got there.
It's important to note that the players are not mad at Cook. And you said, what will the Bills do? What kind of hardball could they play? You know, if they're fining him, if he holds in,
mm-hmm.
are they suspending him? Because holding in, Joe, it's kind of this somewhat new thing. Well, a couple of years, players have been doing this.
Yeah, like the last 3 years,
okay,
mostly.
And when a player does that, they can be around and they're not working out, but are they going to meetings? I guess each guy would do his own thing. Here, I've reported, but I'm pretending I'm hurt. I've got a hamstring issue. I've got this or that. You know, there's a reason to sit out. If you go farther as the team to punish this player, my guess is that goes over poorly with his teammates. And listen, we know it's business. We're all playing business here.
Hmm.
I don't, however, want you to act like it's a bigger problem than it is. Don't go the next step in escalating it further. And Cook, you know, if Hard Knocks comes in and they want to talk to him, my guess is Cook doesn't want to trash the organization. We do have to consider it as a possibility that he doesn't want to sign here long term. It has to be considered. So maybe Joe Marino's the first one that brought this up to me of the Lockdown Bills podcast. He'd basically be saying, listen, what if Cook is putting that number out there so he doesn't get signed because he does want to go elsewhere? You have to consider it as a possibility. He is in a really nice offense.
Let's say, why would he really want that?
Because he wants to play in warm weather. Really, it could be anything.
Sure, right. Yeah.
I mean, we always just tend to go to that. I don't necessarily think we have to believe it is true, but I thought it was worth mentioning, and I think Joe pointing that out was right, to say, consider it as a possibility. But, you know, for Cook here, if he comes into town, he wants his contract, he says 15. If they said 12, he might say yes. So, knowing that the two sides are not close, according to Schefter, but not knowing what not close is numerically, you'd have to think that Cook is not out to burn bridges,
mm-hmm.
but rather to build bridges. And, all right, I'll be there. I'll be a good teammate. If Hard Knocks wants to talk to me, I mean, I'm not going to say bad things. I just don't know what his play is. It seems that most Bills fans are comfortable with not paying him big money. I don't think they should come close to $15 million. I don't know if he would come down to 10. 10 seems about right for where running backs are and who he is. That would be totally acceptable with the cap going to where it's going and continuing to go. But I just don't know if he'd be willing to come down to 10. He this year is making $5 million, which is about a five-fold increase from what he made the year before. And if they bumped him to 10, hey, here's 2 years, $20 million. And you know what we'll do? We'll throw 13 of it in year one. As a signing bonus.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got 13 for year one. Are you happy? You want 15 a year. You got 13. And some security, and here we go. We're off with a contract extension. So it's always tough to kind of figure out exactly what the number could be. But
well, and how long-term it is, because is a two-year deal going to be enticing to him? If I were him, I'm a running back. I want to get the longest term that I feel like I can get. His brother got a five-year deal. Now it's probably a five-year deal that ended up being more like a three-year deal, probably, right? Like, that's generally how those things go. But, you know, like, 2-year deal means you're walking yourself up to an age where those, you're definitely not getting a big contract at that point. Guys do not, at 28 years old, unless you're Derrick Henry, you know, like, you're probably not getting a big long-term extension. Like, I would think he is looking for the, you're a running back, your brother was done in the league by the time he was 29. Like, I want that one big contract. So a 2-year deal feels like,
well, the question
feels
is,
like something the Bills could have on the table right now, and he goes, I wonder how much of it is about the salary and how much is it about the term.
He might want what his brother got. He's not the same back as his brother. His brother was much more of a feature back, was he not?
His brother was more of a feature back, but his brother also signed when the cap was probably, what, $80 million lower?
And he got $63 million over 5 years.
Okay.
He got big money. In the chat, there's a little
big money.
In the chat, there's a little bit of, you know, his brother is a cautionary tale. Not the case. He got $63 million over 5 years from the Vikings and had 3 1,000-yard seasons after that deal. So if you're James Cook, Dalvin is the model. You might not get his money, but that's what you want to do. Have a couple good seasons, get some security, have some more good seasons. And then, of course, he flamed out pretty quickly because he didn't see year 4 of that contract in Minnesota.
Right.
But he got paid. Guaranteed at sign, again, like 5 years, $63 million. His guaranteed at sign was 16. And his total guaranteed was 28. So, again, if you give him 3 years 30, 3 years 45, put the number on it.
Mm-hmm.
And its actual guarantees over those 3 years are $24 million. Who wins? Does James Cook get to say he wins because he got 3 years for 45?
Right.
That was 15. This is the funny thing about NFL contracts. Does James Cook mean the fake 15? That you report, or an actual 15
right,
that 3 days later we find out you get. The Panthers rout the Oilers last night.
Whew.
It was, you know what I woke up thinking about for that series and that game? You're a Leafs fan. You wake up today. You should say, you know, maybe they're not that bad. The Leafs.
The Leafs, okay, the Leafs. Yeah,
they gave Florida everything they could handle, and Florida is running through everybody else pretty much. We'll see if they, you know, Edmonton is competitive here for the rest of the series. But last night was one of those games the Leafs lost 6-1.
Yeah,
they had multiple losses to this Florida team like this. They took them 7 games. You know, it's a little bit like when the Eagles beat the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. My reaction was to look at the Bills differently.
Yeah,
whoa, wait a minute. Maybe we had this wrong on some level. And last night, if you're a Leafs fan, I'm so mad. These Leafs are so terrible. They choke in the big moment. Like, actually, Florida dominates everybody pretty much.
Yeah. The Leafs had a 2-0 lead in game 3.
And a breakaway?
With a 2-0 series lead.
Yeah.
Right, don't even go to the breakaway. Okay, they had the breakaway later. That's another part of it. But just go to end of the first period, or middle of the first period in game 3. They're up 2-0 in the series, and they're up 2-0 in game 3. What would their odds have been to win the series that moment?
Like 85% probably. Yeah. Really good.
Right. But that's where the Leaf fan gets more mad at their own team, because how could you possibly lose that? Oh, we're the Toronto Maple Leafs, and we choke that away.
Yeah.
That's where they get on that. But your point is right. That, like, Toronto...
Awesome.
Are they as good as the Oilers? They're not as good as the Oilers in the playoffs. I mean, there are legitimate stats to show they are not the same team.
That's right. Their big guns do not produce in the playoffs, and Edmonton's do.
Right. But, sure, we'll see. This series is still bad. It's going to go 6 or 7. But last series was certainly a cakewalk for Florida.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't their toughest series at all against Carolina. This one might turn into it. Did they have a blowout win against the they had two, right? They'd won a game 5 and they'd won a game 7.
Mm-hmm.
How many times have they won 6-1? That was the exact score of game 5 and game 7. It was the score last night against Edmonton. I mean, you've got some blowout wins that they're throwing in to every single series.
Yep. They look pretty much unbeatable when they're on their game, when they're at their best.
If you go back to the game 5 against Toronto, they have won by scores of 6-1, 6-1, 5-2, 5-0, 6-2, 5-3, 6-1. Like, there they are again yesterday. What are they showing on ESPN? Like, they are showing the goals. But they're also showing, you know, the brawl, the line brawl in the third period where, you know, Gadjevich is fighting Darnell Nurse and they're attacking Sam Bennett, and now they're all... They're showing, like, the scrums and the toughness and the physicality. Look at all the goals.
That's
look at all the goals this team scores.
It's always the thing when that conversation comes up. Like, oh, I was listening yesterday. The afternoon show had George Richards on. He's covered the Panthers forever. He's talking about the fans and how they've come to embrace this team. And yeah, right. They score all the time.
Yeah.
And once they get up on you, they get really mean about it. I mean, they're mean when they're not leading by 5-2, but
it maybe hits an extra gear.
It definitely
when they,
it hits an extra gear. That brawl happens last night. You just picture every Florida fan feeling like $1 million because you're dominating on the scoreboard and you're truculent, right? You're pugnacious. They're in football. We always talk like copycats and who's going to copycat that team. The Panthers are what every team always wants to be: score a lot, play good defense, have a great goalie, hit everything that moves. Don't be afraid to fight. You have Bennett and Marshawn on the same team now.
Yeah,
Florida has assembled the Avengers of what hockey fans want their team to be.
Uh huh.
What's not to like?
And McDavid is Thanos.
A little bit.
It works kind of perfectly.
It really does.
They have scored at least 3 goals in 8 of their last 9 playoff games. When everything's supposed to get tighter, right, and everything's supposed to get more defensive, they've scored in most of these games. They're scoring 5 or 6 in them. So they're super impressive. They're just totally, totally impressive. I don't know how else to really frame it. Like, they built a perfect team. They were smart about it. I don't really think it's going to unravel. They might lose Sam Bennett and Aaron Ekblad in the offseason, but I don't know.
Maybe not. Those two are best friends, apparently, listening to George Richards yesterday also.
Okay.
And he said they might stay for less because they just love it so much. Everybody loves Florida. They might not leave.
Where's Aaron Ekblad from?
He's from Western Canada.
I know where Bennett's from.
They're both from Canada. I know that.
Okay, Bennett's from like just outside of Toronto.
Yeah, because he played at Kingston.
Aaron Ekblad's from Windsor, Ontario. Okay. Are we sure that the two best friends won't ride off together to
Detroit?
Toronto?
To Detroit or to Toronto?
To Toronto.
I mean, I suppose.
Are the Leafs going to go overpay both of them and get two Panthers to come try and change their culture?
Or are the two Panthers going to stay in Florida and win the next 5 cups and dominate the Leafs and break everyone's hearts?
Maybe. This might sound crazy because Bennett leads the Stanley Cup playoffs in goals, and I think he might have it by a couple. He's got a little bit of a margin maybe right now. I think they'd still be almost just as good without those two. Especially Ekblad. Ekblad isn't the same player. But those two are great, and I feel like if you took them off the team right now, they would still be. See the pass Reinhardt made last night on the power play? Just, okay, sure, Bennett's going to. If Bennett were to leave and Ekblad were to leave, Barkov and Reinhardt and Tkachuk and Mikola and Forsling, like they just. Bobrovsky, they have so much at their disposal. They're not going to suddenly not become a Stanley Cup favorite if those two even leave, which is a testament to how deep that team is right now. Marshawn will probably leave too, I think. He's a rental.
Maybe.
He put them way over the cap. Like, they put Tkachuk on long-term IR. That's how they got Marshawn, was Tkachuk got hurt in the Four Nations, which is another funny thing that just kind of coincidentally happened here. But, yeah, they're one of the deepest teams I've ever seen in my life.
And Verhaeghe scores again last night. We talked about this a little bit last week, or I think I said it with you here, not the week you were off, but my favorite thing to point out about the Panthers is, sure, they have their top picks, which they do. They have their big money free agents, but they also have a series of trades for players that and signings in free agency where it's not huge money. They identify players that are good. And I know that sounds nuts, but that really is what they've done. They identify players that are good. Verhaeghe was one of those, pardon the term, analytics darlings before he signed in Florida, and then he goes there and he looks great. Sam Bennett, who they trade for, they gave up nothing for Bennett because the league's ready to give up on a guy that was taken near the top of the draft, but what, didn't score enough for Calgary, I guess? Okay. Over and over again, they just take guys that, actually, that guy's kind of good. Trade for him. And their whole team is that. Seth Jones, another one. It was like Seth Jones last night. Oh, he's on the team, too. Well, the Panthers' model might be, I mean, twistedly kind of similar to the Sabres because it's, what about this former top 10 pick? The difference is that the Sabres are trying that on with your Eric Johnsons and your Zach Bogosians and your, you know, guys that aren't so much. And I guess they both did it with Kane. But Florida just identifies good players. And I know that, well, yeah, what doofus, what is a hockey, what is a GM supposed to do? It's like, well, not all the, especially in the NHL, not all the GMs are too good at that. And Florida is exceedingly good at just identifying the good players and stockpiling them.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Hey, the GM, you know, how many would there be like this? How many GMs in the NHL are not former players? Because one of them is in Florida.
Yeah, Bill Zito.
Bill Zito was an agent.
He was an agent, yep. He replaced Dale Talon.
Which, I don't know that that's become much of a foothold in hockey other than Zito. Although I think the Montreal GM, whose name is escaping me right now.
It's there in football for sure.
Football, it's there. And basketball, it is everywhere.
Yeah, former agents becoming
like
GMs.
The Lakers GM, the Knicks GM. Like basketball, it is definitely bred into that. That they're starting to hire less from scouting backgrounds, less from you know, assistant GM backgrounds. Well, I guess that might be the path for these guys, but they're hiring agents or former agents. The Warriors, longtime GM, when they were in a dynasty, Bob Myers was a former agent. So hockey, like I think it's two. I'm looking at the list right now of the guys, and the only two I mean, there are more former Sabres that are current GMs. Well, there are five former Sabres that are GMs right now. Mike Greer, Danny Briere, Chris Drury, Jason Botterill played for the Sabres too, right? Or four. Kevin Adams. No, he didn't play for the Sabres.
No.
Four. Just maybe that's a background that people should start hiring more for. It's not I'm sure it's not the reason why Zito is amazing at this, but he's the type of guy that I'm not sure if he would have been hired 15 years ago by different teams.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Stay tuned for the latest on James Cook. My guess is we'll find out 4 minutes within going off the air.
as to whether or not he's going to be at mandatory minicamp.
A few moments later.
Will James Cook be in attendance? That is the big story of the day. We also have, and we have news on that. James Cook in attendance?
According to Adam Schefter, yes.
Shefty! With the report that he's not in and then the report that he is.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Let's go to Gene Steratore. Gene, was it 4 minutes? What time? Hold on. The tweet came at 9:59. What time did we sign off?
I pressed the button to go to break at 56:20.
Ooh, nope. Okay, so it's only because we were late.
Yes, exactly.
What time were we supposed to be off?
54:50.
4 minutes after the show ends.
But not after yesterday's show ended. Not when you said it.
No, I was going with
That's better. When did he say 4 minutes? Was it 4 minutes after he said 4 minutes? Because he wouldn't have said 4 minutes. You would have said it a few seconds before, yeah, maybe 30 seconds before.
This is where
Gene
comes in and looks at the shot clock here.
Yeah.
All right, so did I say that at 55:30?
Mm-hmm.
We'll go and check the tape.
So, you know, Gene doesn't tell you if you actually said it there. What Gene will tell you is what happens if you did.
Right.
He doesn't actually give you. He just lays out what happens if this is true and this is true. He doesn't actually tell you what's true.
Good morning, everybody. Jeremy and Joe, we called it. This is one of those examples where, hey, just because everybody in town's hearing a rumor doesn't make it true. This is one of those examples where, like, actually, this one was true.
Yeah.
Everybody heard, actually, he's here.
Yeah.
Schefter said he won't be, but he's here.
He's in town.
Someone saw him. He was on my flight. I saw someone tweeting he was on my flight.
Yep.
And sure enough, James Cook is here. So
we've had a couple of those recently, haven't we?
Yes.
They said Lou Lamorello was in town.
He was in town.
It just was for a very different thing than what we might have thought.
Maybe we're on a streak here of someone being seen in town being true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who was it before Lou Lamorello?
Who was the... There's a popular wing spot locally where everybody said, oh, this guy is here. And it was like probably fake, and then it ended up being fake. Was it Beckham?
I don't know.
No, because Beckham actually did come here.
David Beckham did?
No, sorry. Odell Beckham. Odell Beckham.
Is it wrong that I went to David
Beckham?
Yeah,
I think it might be. Mm. I just say the name Beckham and your mind goes to David Beckham?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
The official results are in.
Okay, what time did I say 4 minutes?
You were 4 seconds off.
That's a win.
That's a win. Yeah.
That's a win.
That's a win. From when he said it?
3 minutes and 56 seconds after I said, we'll find out in 4 minutes.
That's a win.
It would take you 4 seconds to read the tweet, thereby being at the end of reading the tweet, it would have been exactly 4 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, listen, that happens to us a lot. All right, see you later. We'll see what happens immediately after the show. Oh, here's the news.
Yeah, when Diggs was traded. That happened like right after.
At like 10:06.
Yeah, right after the show ended.
Not that we expected that one necessarily. That one, I remember thinking it was an April Fool's joke because it was April 2nd or April 3rd.
Right.
I thought, this is somebody. Yeah. Somebody retweeted an April Fool's joke. Anyway, good morning. Hi, Jeremy and Joe. Happy Wednesday. Joe Marino, Locked On Bills. Podcast at 8, Sal at 7 to completely recap what happened at Mandatory Minicamp. With James Cook, let's start. We get right into it.
Yeah.
I'm going to say something. Anybody has any issue with this, you let me know why. True or false, and I feel like it's got to be 99.9% true, all is forgiven?
Yeah.
He was even asked why he tweeted the thing he tweeted, and he said, I don't know. It wasn't a plan.
Uh-huh.
Which is a great answer. You could just tweet something like, pretzels are thirsty, and the NFL, pretzels are making me thirsty, and the NFL media machine will say, like, I think that means he wants to get traded to Nashville. You know, NFL... Oh, cryptic tweet. What's it mean? There's an eyeball emoji tweeted by Deion Dawkins. Dawkins convinced the world he was going to retire for a few minutes with a tweet.
Yeah.
And here's Cook saying like $15 million. And we, some of us, myself probably included, kind of all fell for it. Like, well, he wants 15. And his answer was like, yeah, I don't know why I did that. Like, he just kind of did it.
Well, that's the tweet that they were referencing?
I think so.
Because I heard him answer that question, and I'm like, what are they talking about, the $15 million tweet? Are they talking about the when he's tweeted eyeball emojis.
Any tweet. The point is, it doesn't have to be part of a grand plan. Tweets.
You know, I looked back, though, through his Twitter since, like, January, and he's got, like, two tweets that actually have words in them.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is the $15 million one, and the other one is, I love you. Buffalo.
Yeah, right.
Or, I love you, Buffalo. So, and then we've got, like, there's the 100 emoji. There's the eyeball emojis a couple of times. You know, there's the clapping emoji when, like, Barkley gets paid. But he's not been out here on this, like, social media war on a day-to-day basis.
That's right.
So, like, when you ask what's to be forgiven of him, like, I don't know what's really changed for him. Other than
nothing.
How he's going about what he wants and how much maybe he wants it.
And
how much he believes he can get it. Like, I still fully believe he wants $15 million on his next contract.
He's also doing the mandatory thing, the thing that you have to do.
Right. He's not.
He's been given a lot of credit for doing what he's supposed to do.
Right. Like something that is mandatory.
Yep.
To show up and do. Well, it is, though, a spot where, like, how many guys in the league yesterday did you see not show up to their mini camps because they're looking for new contracts? Whether it was Watt, McLaurin, Hendrickson, Ramsey, Jonnu Smith ended up not showing up in Miami. There have been trade rumors about him, and he wants a new deal. Like, most times when you get an NFL player and you're looking for a new deal, whether it's their own initiative or it is their agent, what does their agent and the player end up coming to? Like, okay, we're not going to this because we're looking for a new deal and we don't work for you until you do. Cook, is it the Bills? Is it Cook more like what he is as a person? Is it his motivation for what he actually wants? You know, like, it is a little strange to me that he was there yesterday. If he wants a new contract that badly, he is either okay with the idea that he'll play this year out on his expiring contract, or he believes that him and the Bills are going to get something done before the start of the year. And if you believe that as a person, why would you create this giant headache? You know, why would you not be there? Why would you be a distraction? That could be the answer to the question. But he does kind of kill the need, it feels like, to follow it as a story,
mm-hmm.
doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
By showing up, like, when he talked yesterday, like, he kind of implied that maybe he could still hold in. Like, we'll see. He said we'll see at training camp, right?
He did say, "This is my team. Like, I'm
right,
here,
like,
to win a Super Bowl."
What are we gonna do? We're gonna obsess for 7 weeks about whether he's gonna not practice for a couple of days at training camp.
I didn't get that feeling at all from yesterday, from what he talked about. I thought he sounded like a guy that's gonna just show up and do work. And there are some things in here worth talking about, like snap percentages. He said, "I don't care about snap percentages," because of course that's a big part of this.
Mm-hmm.
But you know,
He also said he doesn't really. He got asked a question about, like, the lifespan of running backs, and, like, he doesn't enter his thought process at all in this. Where, you know, you're like, oh, your career as a running back is shorter than other positions, and he just kind of wanted to brush that off too. So, yeah, I don't know. Like, he was tough to. I thought he wasn't so easy to read yesterday. Because the first thing he did say was, "I'm here because," basically, he did the Marshawn Lynch, didn't he?
Yep.
"I'm here because I don't want to get fined."
Which is why everybody's there.
Right.
Every single one of them is there.
But then how come the players around the league aren't there?
Well, those guys don't care about getting fined because they're holding out for bigger contracts.
Then Cook will get?
Yeah. But why is Josh Allen there? So he doesn't get fined. Why is Greg Rousseau there?
Well,
because they're there because it's their job.
They're there to start the season, aren't they? And then build the team.
Why won't they be there next week? Because they don't work next week.
Because there's no right. There's no yeah. work next
there,
week.
So to me, I'm here because I like my money. Means if I wasn't here, they would have fined me $17,000, and I like my money. He's talking about the money he's already earned, and
right.
he would have to give them $17,000 to not be there. I like my money. To me, was like, that's why everybody works. Why are we here today? We get paid.
Well, you know? some people like their jobs.
They do. Would you do it for free?
No, but he's not doing it for free. He's already been paid for it,
right.
And now he's
well.
Right, like, I'd have to give you money back if I want to take a day off. but and it's, it, oh, like I need to take a day off, but I have to give you 10 grand to take the day off. Like, I guess I'm not taking that day off.
Right.
Because even though I'm not happy I'm here, but I'm here because I'm not going to give you I'm not going to give you money.
Right. Well, I feel like that's just, he's at work. Everybody does that. You know, people love to say they would work for free, especially at the top of their field. Like, these football players could say, I'd play football for free. A lot of the old timers say, I would have played for free. But everybody else is getting paid, so you got to get paid too. You know, you know what's going to be free? Playing flag football at the Olympics. You might do that for free. Yeah, maybe not. Maybe you'll get endorsement deals if you do that and you end up getting paid anyway. College athletes don't play for free anymore. If you're any good, you get paid.
Right.
Even if you would play for love of the game.
Soon directly by the schools, too.
That's right.
That came down.
You might be a guy that appreciates college basketball, college football, and says, like, it's for love of the game. And those guys are like, yeah, I love this game. Oh, wait, the guy next to me got 100 grand. I would also like 100 grand.
Yeah.
So Cook saying, I'm basically, yeah, the version of I'm here so I don't get fined. That was Marshawn Lynch at Media Day when he said that.
Yes.
I don't want to be here, but I'm here so I don't get fined. And
fines that, by the way, can be forgiven if he were to sign a new contract.
That's right. Or they could. I think it could just.
So really, they're not like he. That's.
I think
that's
they can be forgiven either way.
Either way.
Yeah, I don't think. I don't think he even needs a new deal. But
okay.
Fines in your entry level contract can be just waived or forgiven altogether.
Okay. So there's that too. Then I guess that they could just, you know, give you the money back, no, regardless. But it does present an interesting question to me, like, how bad does he want a new deal right now, or does he just think there's no way I'm getting it? Or does he think I am going to get it? Because it's not the common way for a star player in the league to go about getting his bag.
I think the question is, do you think it's a show of good faith towards getting a contract done?
Sure.
Or is it just he admits defeat and he doesn't have any real leg to stand on here?
Pretty much.
That's a good Twitter poll. Do you think this increases the chances he is a Buffalo Bill next year? Will he play
in 2026?
Yeah. Will he play a down as a Bill in the new stadium?
Mm-hmm.
Would you bet it?
No.
You think? I would also bet no. I would bet no. But then again, depends on the market next year. If he has a great year and goes to market and doesn't get what he expects to get, I don't know. It's tough. I don't think it's a gesture of good faith. Not that it's in bad faith, but if it were in good faith, I feel like he would have sounded like, oh, we'll get something done. And he didn't say that. Well, perhaps the most perhaps the most interesting thing that comes out of this, it's about what Allen said. He's one of the top backs in the league, and hopefully that's reflected soon.
Yeah.
You know, the way this organization supports Allen, and I don't want to go too far in saying giving him everything he wants, but Allen is consulted, is he not? Don't we kind of know they tell him what they're going to do? And
yeah, I would assume he has a good idea.
If you have a good relationship with a quarterback, there's no doubt that there's a better chance you're going to be on the team, not cut, paid well. That's backup quarterbacks. That's maybe Dawson Knox got not a hometown deal. What am I trying to say? I mean, Dawson Knox openly wanted to stay and got huge money.
Yeah.
Like there was never an issue. Like Knox, oh, he's here to stay. He's quarterback's buddy. He's a security blanket, a tight end. He plays all the time. We love everything about the way that he operates. If it's a coordinator, a quarterback's coach, if it's he liked Keon Coleman, he wanted Kincaid. You know, I don't think that Allen makes these decisions. But if Allen were to go to the GM and say, you know, I really like Cook, I think he's one of the best backs in the league, and I hope that's reflected soon. Would he say that to Bean, or is that just Josh saying something at a press conference because he's being diplomatic and he's saying nice things about his teammate?
I think he'd probably be willing to and have said it to Bean, too. That doesn't mean Bean, though, will act on it.
Right.
He might in certain situations think, all right, you know, Josh does want this, and I like it too, so, all right, yes. Coleman could have been that. Like, Josh likes him. And all those guys are pretty much the same to me, so, like, okay, we'll go with him. In this spot, though, if you don't want to pay James Cook and you don't want this running back on a second contract, you might go, all right, like, I appreciate your opinion on it, but this is one of those spots where, like, I'm gonna go with my gut on this.
Well, it could also be he wants 15,
We want to give him 9. Josh really likes him. Let's go to 10.5.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Jeremy and Joe, it's Joe's birthday.
It's my birthday, and I found the exercise that makes me feel the most old.
Burpees.
No.
I know burpees. What you meant. Listen.
Yeah, you're doing burpees during
a moment
break.
For burpees. Burpees
are round of applause. He doesn't even get that.
Oh, burpees are the worst.
Burpees are tough.
I do plenty of exercising in my life in the last 30. And yeah. Nothing is worse than burpees. Burpees are the worst.
Ooh, is nothing worse than burpees?
Planking's pretty bad.
How long? A plank for a minute and a half.
On how long?
Or do 4 burpees? I'll pick the plank. Burpees are terrible.
Yeah, nobody enjoys.
Especially when you get burpees. As you get older, my hips don't do that anymore.
What about just a straight pull up?
Would rather do a pull up than a burpee.
Okay.
Sorry, I hijacked.
No, I think I agree with you.
I hijacked your point. You're like an exercise, and I went to the burpees because I was.
We started talking about actual exercises.
So, what is the exercise that makes you feel old?
The exercise making me feel old is one that my brother started texting me. Is running backs that I am the same age or older than.
Mm.
And let me tell you, that's not a fun exercise. How about me being the same age as Todd Gurley?
Who's been out of the league for, a couple of years?
Nothing's made me feel older today yet than him telling me I'm the same age as Todd Gurley. Right, how long has he been out of the league? 5 years?
I was going to say, in fantasy years, Gurley's like 85.
Oh my goodness.
Right?
Same age as Sony Michel.
Yeah, in fantasy years. We got to start using that phrase, fantasy years. Zeke. How old is Zeke?
Zeke's 29.
Wow. In fantasy
years,
he's like 50.
How is that dude only 29? He's 34. I'm older than Ezekiel Elliott.
You always have been.
True. Leonard Fournette.
Oh.
Dalvin Cook.
Good old playoff Lenny.
Marlon Mack.
Who? Colts?
That's a fantasy pull, I guess.
That's a deep one.
Running backs. Running backs is the way to feel old.
30 years old.
Like for you, like you could still look up at Aaron Rodgers and be like, I'm not that old. There's a guy near my age still playing in the NFL. But if I were to start looking up 46-year-old running backs, I bet you would feel like 100.
Hold on. Let me try to nail one 46-year-old running back, okay?
Okay.
So I'm born in 1979. That means that
you're 46, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, 46 next month.
40. Okay.
Oh, sorry. In 2 weeks. 2 weeks from today.
2 weeks. Yeah.
Okay. 2 weeks. I turned 46. So I was born in 79.
Okay.
That means the running back is drafted like 99 or 2000, right there.
Okay.
So a running back that's going to be drafted around, because you're 20 or you're 21 or 22. So a 2001 running back.
Mm-hmm.
LaDainian Tomlinson's probably my age.
Yes, 2001 draft. Yep.
Is he 45, about to be 46?
He is 45.
There you go.
So he's younger than you.
When's his birthday?
June 23rd.
Yeah. I got a guy 2 days away from me. Somebody else. That's a new game. This is a new party game. An athlete as close to your age as possible.
Yeah.
I missed by
That's pretty darn good. But Josh, as Josh would tell you, as you missed the 4 minute mark by 4 seconds yesterday, we're talking about James Cook. You actually were wrong.
Listen, if you score a goal 4 seconds after a period ends, the referee doesn't award you the goal.
Right. What he's saying is what you just did, even with Tomlinson, is you hit a buzzer beater shot, but the ball left your hand 0.2 seconds after the buzzer.
Exactly. It doesn't matter. It doesn't count. It's dead.
What these two?
No, it's pretty impressive.
What these two are talking about is yesterday. I said as we signed off the show, we're going to find out that James Cook's at training camp 4 minutes after we're done, and 3 minutes and 56 seconds after I said that, Rappaport tweeted it.
Yeah, and he probably took him 20 seconds to type it.
It takes you 4 seconds to read it,
right? So no, you got a guy within 2 days of your birthday. Other running backs in that draft class, I'd imagine they're all close to the same.
Okay, Tomlinson goes
fifth overall.
Yeah, fifth
there
overall.
There were three first round running backs that year.
Okay, 2001 Curtis Enos.
No,
is he 2000 Penn State? Is he earlier than that? Who else is in that 2000? That's not Kajana Carter.
No.
He's earlier than that, too.
Yeah. There were three second-round running backs, by the way, two of which played for the Bills.
Second-round running backs in the 2001 draft?
Yep. Three first-round picks and two second-round picks.
Travis Henry.
And then the A-Train.
Anthony Thomas.
The other two first-round running backs. New Orleans.
Ricky Williams?
Nope.
Deuce McAllister.
See, that's not as bad as I thought this would have gone. Like, Deuce McAllister, I remember Deuce McAllister.
Isn't he coaching a college team?
Is he? I don't know.
And who's the other?
Michael Bennett. Minnesota, not a player I have any memory of.
He was drafted by the Vikings?
Yep. How about Lamont Jordan?
Yeah, very little.
Yeah, this isn't as bad for you as I thought it would be.
I want you guys.
Sean Alexander.
I want you guys to play the game of find an athlete just as old as you, and I dare you to get within 2 days. Granted, it was kind of an accident because I didn't know his birthday was in June. But
right, June 23rd.
Man, he's almost one of my birthday bros.
Almost.
Carlos Delgado is. So is Jonas Emerald.
He keeps going back to Carlos Delgado.
It's one of the ones I remember. He's tweeted happy birthday to me. You know, we're friends.
Yeah.
I've got
Delgado or Enroth?
Both.
Both?
They're both birthday bros.
But I've tweeted.
Oh, I've texted Jonas happy birthday.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I had his number. I don't remember why.
I can tell you off air. It's not an Enroth story. Just, it's the third time he's come up this week for me.
Yeah?
I was on a podcast in Sweden talking about the Sabres earlier in the year, and he came up because he still plays there, I guess. And then a friend of mine said that they went to Enroth's wedding.
Oh. I think he just had a baby.
Chase Young for me.
Chase Young?
April 14th, 1999.
You just looked it up? You didn't play the game?
Yeah, you didn't play
the game. You said to look it up.
I said to play the game.
He played the game.
I thought this
totally
was playing
wrong.
The game.
You're supposed totally wrong.
You don't just Google who was born near my birthday. I went back in time. I was like, all right, well, if I'm going to be about 20 years old, that's the 99 draft, 2000, 2001. How about Tomlinson? You just Googled the day? Jeez.
I thought we had to just like look around and figure it out. That's kind of part of the game. You have to figure out
who's
close to
you. That isn't a
game.
That's not a game. That's just Googling.
You just searched it.
Terrible. This is. If we had a penalty box, we would have to send Josh to it right now.
Jeez.
Owen, you want to play
Owen's
the game?
Owen's in the penalty box.
I'll play the game. I have not searched up
any
dates. Yeah. I was thinking my first thought was like my draft class, my NHL draft class.
Okay.
The first name that I thought of that I remember I think might be an early birthday is Timothy Stützle.
Okay.
So I don't know if look it up now or if someone else wants to.
I'm already on it.
Apparently I'm the Google master.
Well, I guess so. Yeah. Watch him get Stützle to a day.
I'm January 4th.
January 4th of 2002?
2002.
Okay. You're 11 days off.
Whoa! Look at us!
That's pretty good.
January 15th of 2002.
Look at us!
There we go.
See, if you play the game the right way, Josh, you get credit.
Well, I know one off the top of my head that I did not Google is Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. He's April 5th, I think.
Okay, and you are?
April 16th.
Okay, 11 days.
All right.
What a game we've invented here for Joe's birthday.
How close to your birthday can you get an athlete? Luukkonen, by the way, March 9th.
Oh.
No.
Wrong again!
All right,
you're terrible at this game.
He needs the Google.
How good
do you think you could be at it with golfers?
Golfers my age?
Pro golfers.
Very bad.
Very bad?
Draft year locks you in like a 3-year window.
Okay,
you feel
right.
Kind of confident.
Because you're within a range. No one's going to be...
I mean, you told me NFL running backs. That means I could go NBA players. I could go NHL players.
Yeah, that's right.
Draft makes it key. A golfer that's 45? Oh, Dustin Johnson? How old is he? I have something to start with that's kind of funny.
Okay.
I had a listener write to me and say it was from a guy named Matt, who wanted us to dedicate an entire hour to what amounts to be a little bit of a silly topic, but I mean, you know, sometimes we only do that later in the show, and I regret that. You know, we'll get a little looser in the 9 o'clock hour.
Uh-huh.
And why not start here in the 6 o'clock hour? It's a Thursday and it's June, and you know, we could talk about Keon Coleman, or we could talk about the guys that went to Baltimore and The guys that went to Baltimore to a Orioles game and brought in bags and bags of crab legs.
Okay.
Because it's one of these policies where you can bring food in a Ziploc bag.
Yeah.
And they got a write-up in the paper, they got a write-up online, wherever, BaltimoreBanner.com.
Yeah.
They got a write-up for just we saw guys bringing in spaghetti and meatballs in a bag, and we brought crab legs.
Okay, in like giant,
huge,
plastic, like Ziploc bags?
Yes. They were on the roof deck in center field, out there with their little eating crabs.
Were they allowed to bring in the little hammers or whatever?
I guess so.
Okay.
Yep. They've done it for 3 years, the first time they've really gotten attention for it.
Uh-huh.
So the guy says, I said, we can bring our own food. The first year, obviously, crabs are pricey. Kelly and I didn't want to get it turned down. We brought three each. And they said, oh, no problem. So now every year they bring a monster, basically a buffet of their own for crabs. To just bring them to a baseball game.
They referenced the spaghetti and meatballs thing. We saw that this year, didn't we?
Where did we see that?
And somewhere in the NBA.
Okay.
There was a guy, like, not center court, but maybe
Madison
like in the...
Square Garden or LA?
Maybe.
LA. I think it's LA, guys eating spaghetti and meatballs.
That's right. It was in LA. Like, in the third row, there's a guy with... it was a plate, though, of spaghetti and meatballs.
Yeah. My first thought on all this, which, you know, maybe we'll have a couple of silly thoughts... I think a perfect fantasy football last place punishment is you have to go to a Bills game and bring spaghetti and meatballs in a bag.
Okay.
That's a punishment?
Yeah.
That was my natural follow-up question.
That's enjoyable. I would do that on week one.
Okay. You're doing it week one then.
Well, I'd have to go to the game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't just have access to go to the game.
Okay. I'll give you a ticket.
Yeah. We'll get you.
You're going to do it right away. Week one. Spaghetti and meatballs in a bag.
All right. I'll do it.
All right, look at that. Commitment.
You got a snack, a dinner, and a show.
The thing that's tough about that versus what... Well, I guess there are problems with what these guys are doing with crab legs, too. Because if they're, you know, they're not pre-hitting... They're bringing the full crabs, right?
Yeah. I mean, the picture of the guy's holding up a crab in center field.
Okay, so they're not doing that beforehand and then putting the meat in a bag and then bringing it. They're doing it all there. So that's a process, too. The spaghetti and meatballs, though, is like I am going to have an impossible time
not getting it all over the front of myself. How are you going to eat spaghetti and meatballs at a Bills game without having it everywhere? You know? Like, are you going to eat it straight out of the bag?
Right.
With a fork?
It's tough. Any food where people standing up could spill it because there's a big play.
And at Bills games, depending on where you sit or, you know, stand. You stand the whole game.
Mm-hmm.
So standing up and eating spaghetti and meatballs does not sound enjoyable at all. I think that would be a good last place punishment. More of a punishment than it would be to bring crab legs, I think.
Well,
you got to have a table though for that.
You would think.
Like
it's not an easy meal.
What are you going to do? You're going to put it on the bleachers and then like turn around and like whack it.
Right. These guys in this picture in Baltimore have a table in front of them. It almost looks like the party deck at the Bisons game where
okay.
you have a built-in
I see it now, yeah.
shelf to kind of use.
Yeah.
Which would be very important if you're going to try and, you know.
Yeah, because where these guys are sitting, I mean, you could do anything. You could do anything you want, right? Bring whatever you made for dinner the night before. You could bring it because you've got your own little table there.
Yep.
And if you are, you know, that monster in the third row in Los Angeles who's just sitting on a folding chair behind the Lakers bench with a plate of spaghetti and meatballs, and you got a plate, you know, that's a lot more difficult. These guys can do whatever they want with what they have. Look at the guys to the left. The guys on the left in the little corner. They look like they got some food over there.
Yeah, they do. Anybody ever brought anything like this into a game?
I've never even thought to.
Food to a game?
I don't know that I would have known it was allowed.
Because you can bring sandwiches. You can. A lot of times you can bring. I feel like you can bring more than you realize you can.
What are the limits of it, though?
Well, the Bills policy, if I have this exactly right, you can bring anything that fits inside that clear bag, including a bag that's not allowed to be brought in. If you are, I think women that would carry a purse maybe would have learned this, you can't bring your purse in. You can put your purse in the clear bag and then it can come in.
No way.
Yes. Yes. There are bags that you,
that
can't
possibly
you can't have.
Be true.
Your bags have to be approved. And the clear bags, they always have, if it can fit in the clear bag, it can come in with you. There's a couple different little.
Even if it's a bag that wouldn't be allowed in otherwise?
Yes.
Come on.
They want the clear bags.
Why do we? It's just a policy, right? Like they gotta follow through with the
right,
policy.
A universal clear bag kind of policy.
If I walk up to the gate and I don't have the clear bag, and they're going, "That's not allowed in," and then I go, "Wait a minute," and I pull out the clear bag from behind me, and then I put the bag that's not allowed in there. And they're like, "You're good." And then I walk through the gates, and I immediately take out the bag that's not allowed. I throw out the clear bag. I'm good.
Well, now once you're in there, if you get found with that, you're gonna need that class.
They're gonna toss me once I'm in.
Bags that are clear plastic and do not exceed this size, you know, clear backpacks, clear fanny packs, cinch bags.
Okay,
in the dimensions. It's 1 gallon clear plastic freezer bag. So you could bring a plastic freezer bag of. All right, fine. Let's find a real fantasy football punishment. You don't want to do spaghetti and meatballs?
And you're saying, like, I can't bring in, like, a full pepperoni pizza.
If you can fit it in a 1 gallon plastic bag, I think you can.
Okay. Oh, but that's what I'm saying. It's got to fit in that.
Bring it in slices, then you could probably get it.
The flight I was on down to Florida, a lady brought a whole pizza in a plastic bag and just, like, passed it out to people on the flight.
That's what I
passed it out?
Yeah. I got two free pieces of pizza.
She just said, who wants pizza?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It was great.
A random person walks on a flight. And says she wants this piece of pizza for the whole flight.
Oh, and you wouldn't take that piece of pizza?
I would not take stranger pizza on a flight.
I think I would take stranger
pizza.
Her
friends were all like, yeah, we made it. It's homemade. It's all. And I was like, all right, I'll try it.
It was great. They got through TSA. You know, what are we worried about?
I don't know, man. That seems sketchy.
You're right. Like, as safe as you could be in an environment like that is after going through all airport security.
That's fair. I guess, yeah.
You're right. Like, my instinct was, I'm good, thank you.
Like, yeah, I think I would be like, I'll kindly pass on the stranger pizza.
I don't know how good this person is at making pizza. Maybe it's the first time they did it and they screwed something up with the dough. It's going to make me sick. I don't know.
Right.
If that's even possible. I used to have
some battles with a security guard when I was in juniors trying to get food into arenas when I was scratched. So I was in Des Moines, Iowa. Uh-huh. Playing in the USHL, and I would order food, and I was too young to be playing in that league yet. I would order uh-huh. food to the arena, and I would go out and get it, and I would try and bring it back in, and the, like, rink security guy
would try and fight me like every time. And I would have to go get an assistant coach or somebody to be like, he's a player. You got to let him in. Like,
yeah.
It took like six attempts to get through this guy with like a bag of Chipotle. And it was, I would get in screaming matches with this security guard.
Like, I was just here.
It was hilarious. It was back-to-back days my first weekend. I was like, dude, we did this yesterday. Let me in the building. What are you doing?
Of all the places you're trying to sneak food into, these games, again, it's allowed. So if it's in a plastic bag, you can bring trail mix. You can bring, what I was about to get to was, all right, you don't think the spaghetti meatballs is a good enough last place punishment. How about this? Last place punishment. You have to bring a bag of soup.
Can I use a straw?
It's
not as bad.
Would you have a bag of hot soup.
Something.
In that plastic bag. Would that be allowed in? Food in a plastic bag.
Yeah.
Bag of soup.
Week 12, it wouldn't be that bad.
Is it going to... You know what?
We might
have a $1 million idea here.
Is that going to last? Is it going to like melt the plastic if it's hot soup?
Not if it's, you know... Make it not too hot.
Like warm. Warm soup.
Got like six bags of soup, like a vest on.
I love it.
Warm. It's a good idea.
This might be a good idea.
No, it's not a good idea, which means it's a great last place punishment idea.
I think. Vest, but like a camelback.
Yeah,
like
camelback
pack
of soup.
But it's a vest of soup. How about that? There you go. Somebody do it.
If someone has, like, is there such thing as like a clear pizza box? Probably not, right? Because wouldn't that be a good last place? Like bringing a full pizza? You bring the whole, it's not a cardboard box, though, because you'd have to be clear, but you find some sort of clear box that you put the pizza in, and then you go to your seat, or you have to buy, like, a random seat, and then you obviously make everyone around you furious, because look at this guy showing up with a whole pizza. He's going to take up three seats.
The two-foot nachos at the Sabre game are big. There aren't too many places you really have to sneak food into anymore. The movies, if you really wanted to, you could try, because they sell food there. But, you know, back in the day, back in, I don't know, high school or a little after that, you'd sneak in. We'd try to get, like, full value meal in a jacket into the movie theater. Try that sometimes.
Okay. Movie theaters have never stopped anybody for any food item whatsoever, right?
It seems like it's not exact. Right, it's loose.
The hiding of the movie theater, you know, the item, the food or candy into the movie theater, it's not really a high risk proposition. I feel like they're not really they know you're they all know.
Right.
They all know, yeah, this guy's bringing something in. What am I going to do?
The chat says liquids.
Pat down check.
Liquids might be different, like bringing soup into a football game. It has to be chunkier than that. What if it's chunky soup? That's liquid.
Wait, you mean like it wouldn't
chili.
Be allowed?
Chili.
It wouldn't
a
be
bag
allowed
of chili.
If it's liquid?
Yeah, liquids might be different than just like something in a bag.
And a soup would qualify as a liquid even though it's not all liquid? It
depends on the liquid.
Okay. Yeah,
it depends on the soup.
Okay, so an Italian wedding would be different from like a chowder? Because one broth is like really thin and the other is like...
It's a great question. We're gonna have to get in touch with Andy Major from the Bills to find out which soups might be allowed in a bag.
What's the line of demarcation?
That's right.
Soup. Tomato soup, minestrone. What am I more likely to get in with?
They have a document from the NFL, like the following soups are classified. Let's bring in Gene Steratore here.
Clam chowder's banned in Buffalo.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, these guys snuck in. Didn't sneak in. They do it every year. They brought a crab feast to a Orioles game.
Yeah.
Got a write-up in the paper, in the Baltimore Banner. And my guess is now everyone in Baltimore will start doing this.
Yeah.
And you'll just have everybody eating crab legs at Orioles games.
Well, I'm thinking about this just if you don't like arena food or stadium food, like if I've got like a leftover half a sub at home, I would have never in a million years before thought I could bring that to the game. It would be, if I have to eat at the game, I got to pick something in the arena.
Put it in a bag.
Now
you're good to go.
Now I could just, grab a bag, put the half a sub in, and I'm good to go?
Yep.
Interesting.
Life hack.
I might do this a few times this year.
803-0550 is our phone number, 1-888-550-2550. Last year of the stadium. Let's eat everything we can in there. Soup, spaghetti.
Do you think wings would not be allowed because of the bones? Would they trust people with that?
I mean, it doesn't. Let me see here.
That might be a good question, too.
I don't know.
Well, there's like crab shells.
True. Right, right.
But it might be different because it's baseball.
I don't know.
The arena, if the arena matters, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see anything. I'm at the NFL's website about the bag policy. I don't see anything about chicken wings, which probably would not surprise you.
Okay.
Yeah, highly visible bags. How many bags can each person bring in? Blankets in cold weather. Toss them over a shoulder or arm and proceed through screening. And yeah, we're learning all this stuff. Anyway.
Soup is going to be tough to beat for a last place punishment. What about like a full meatloaf?
Sure. I think
that,
so.
That's probably easy, though.
I think so.
You could just eat that out of the bag.
Frank Saravelli says the Flames are interested in J.J. Paterka. And Marco Rossi, by the way, with the Minnesota Wild, who maybe he gets moved from Minnesota. That's a player that I know a lot of Sabres fans wanted the Sabres to draft when they drafted Jack Quinn.
Mm-hmm.
So Marco Rossi could be moved from Minnesota. But Paterka and the Flames, which...
it seems like a weird fit to me. But if you think he's gettable, then if I were them, I would make the call.
The Rangers traded Chris Kreider and Josh. We were talking one of the breaks. Josh said that there's a chatter out there. The Rangers are kind of loading up for an offer sheet. Now, who that could be for, I don't know. They don't have their second round pick, so they can't do the one that's in the range of two firsts, a second, and a third.
No, like if there was a Paterka offer sheet, around what number would you expect that to come in at? Like millions of dollars.
I would expect it to come in at 8.5.
8.5?
If you're going to go up, right? If you're going to bump his money beyond where he's proven, but with a cap that's actually moving up, I think you think that's about right?
I think that's pretty good. Okay. And there are only, in the offer sheet compensation, between 7.02 and 9.3.
Okay. Then in that case, I would say they'll go to 9.2.
Okay. Because in that range, there are only 13 teams that have the picks that can make that offer sheet. 13 out of 32. So there's that. Calgary, by the way, not one of them. The Rangers not. Actually, Calgary is one of them. The Rangers are not one of them. But the Rangers, who were the team that were rumored to even be getting close to acquiring him at the deadline, the Rangers don't have the ability to do anything between 7.02 and 11.7. So they could, if he had the desire to go to New York, they could say, hey, let's offer sheet you at 7 even.
Yeah.
But are the Sabres going to move? That's one first and one third to do that.
Yeah.
You want a late first round pick?
Let me tell you the way they could do that. You offer sheet him to the exact date of to the timeline of his unrestricted free agency.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote about this a while back. If a team wanted to offer sheet off Austin Matthews when the time was coming, like a player like Matthews, Eichel, a top guy, you have that guy's rights, and ideally you sign him for the entry-level deal, and then you extend him for 8 years. You get him for 11, and you buy up years of unrestricted free agency.
Right.
But if your offer sheet, if you're confident, like, this guy wants to play here, this will be his home, we're just going to offer sheet him right to the moment of unrestricted free agency because that team knows he's going to leave and they'll be afraid of losing him for nothing. And now I'm committing for, 4 years. 4 years is not nothing.
That's a long time, though, to be afraid of losing a guy for nothing.
For sure. But if you had a player like, again, Paterka doesn't quite rise to the caliber of this kind of player.
He had to be like a superstar.
Right. But if you wanted to try that, you would say, think about the offer sheet that, was it Kotkaniemi got? It was 1 year? It was
1 year.
1 year.
1 year.
And the idea was this explodes his salary in the short term. Ooh, I don't know what we want to do about this.
Mm-hmm.
Then, it's just, there are ways to really play with it. And that's the only way I could probably find a way for them to offer him 7 and not have it be matched.
Right, because if I'm the Sabres, I'm thinking, wait a minute, I'm going to let him go there at that number. Sure, like the 4 year thing and the UFA stuff. I'm going to let him go to you for that and just get a first round pick and a third round pick. Yeah, he's an asset. Yeah. I would rather match the offer sheet, even if I knew, he doesn't want to be here. I'd still match it and say, all right, well, I've got time. I've got leverage. If you really want it out, I'll work with you on a trade after I match this, but I am not trading you for a first and a third.
Right.
A late first and a third, even probably. Like, I'm not doing that. You're going to play here until I get the right package. Because I got 4 years of that.
I would agree.
But, like, that is, from my standpoint, that's a very fantasy-esque type of, like, if he's a person, you would have to have a guy in the locker room that you might know doesn't want to be here. Would you think that that's good? You might not want that. But I still wouldn't be bullied into, all right, well, I'm going to give him away for a first and a third because I'm afraid he's going to leave me in 4 years. Like, right. I just wouldn't do that if I were Kevin Adams.
No, I probably wouldn't either. I wouldn't worry about it. Like, I think it drives home that the Rangers probably can't offer cheat him.
Is the more smoke there is, though, make it more believable that he is going to be moved this offseason?
I told you months ago, someone that I trust would know indicated to me that Paterka might not be a long-term guy here.
But what is long-term? Because when I hear that, I think he wants, he's not a seven-year guy, but
that he wants to go somewhere else. That he might, that whatever, just it might not be the fit. He might not be one of their guys. And there's endless smoke about him. Friedman the other day said the Sabres don't want to trade him. They don't want to do that. That doesn't mean they won't do it, but they don't want to do it. That was what Friedman said earlier this week. So they might just feel, we've gotten into this about Tuck and what is Tuck going to do? His contract is up at the end of the year. If he leaves, you know, you've got a couple guys in Tage and Dahlin and like Samuelson that's locked in. I mean, who knows if they buy him out. You've got some players that are locked in. Josh Norris is locked in for a lot.
He is.
Forgetting about him.
Well, also, this would, I guess, be different than the, you know, if Friedman is saying they don't want to trade him, that says they like him as being a part of the team.
Or they think he's valuable.
Or he's valuable.
They're just like, no, you're good. We'd like to keep you. But if, again, we watched the Stanley Cup final. We watched the playoffs. Players that they would have known are good that want to go. All right, I guess I'll do what I can for you.
Because there's also, I mean, why did they, he would be a super version of this, I think, but why did they buy out Skinner last year? Didn't they buy out Skinner because he doesn't play the type of style of hockey that they wanted to play?
No, they bought him out.
That's what they talked about.
They bought him out to save $14 million. That's what I always thought. I thought they bought him out to save actual dollars.
That's right, but if he was an all-around good hockey player, were they going to buy him out?
Okay, sure, probably not.
Like, because the goal scoring had come down a little bit. It is worth mentioning that he scored three fewer goals in that, you know, down year for him than what Paterka scored. But sure, okay, right. But Skinner goes, and one thing that was cited was, like, he's not going to play the style that they're going to want to play with Lindy Ruff. How do they want to play? And does Paterka fit to that? Because from watching him, or if you look at some of the numbers on it, like, he's a 96th percentile overall offensive player, and he's the second percentile defensively. And your eyes would tell you the same thing. Like, there's nothing going on in his own end. And there are turnovers sometimes, and he's not one that's reliable at two ends of the ice. He's a smaller player, so he's not really giving you anything physically. So I'm not saying he's not valuable. The offense way overrates any of those deficiencies. But when do they think, hey, we need a little bit of a shift here in the way we play, and one way to do that would be, all right, if we don't think there's a long-term relationship here with this guy anyway, let's see if we could take that asset and spin it into something that is a more all-around game. I'm working hard to them thinking it's a good idea, but they could, couldn't they? The article from the other day about teams will take the wrong lessons from the Florida Panthers. A wrong lesson you could take is I don't want a guy like JJ Paterka. I need a guy with attitude, that's bigger, that can play in his own end, versus a one-dimensional offensive player. That would be the wrong lesson, but someone's going to take that lesson, and it could be them.
It also might be a move they were going to make regardless of a lesson from Florida, but he's a dynamite player. He's a dynamite young player. I mean, he's gone from, you know, second-round pick to one of my favorite players on the team to watch.
Yep.
And last year was a little, you know, less impressive, but still pretty good for the age that he is. And, you know, every time we talk about him, we get people to write in, it's like, why are we talking about trading this guy? And the answer is because everybody else seems to be.
All the, it's just
yeah.
tons of smoke. And I know sometimes if a trade doesn't happen, your response could be, oh, I guess that was all nonsense. Like, it's not nonsense. Like, it's definitely out there, whether teams are sniffing. And every one of these reports might lead to another team calling and saying, like, what's going on there? You going to trade that guy?
Yeah.
Kevin Adams might say no. What does Yarmo think of him?
What does Yarmo think of him?
What does Yarmo think about J.J. Paterka? Do I got to figure that out, too?
Quickly, I did like his season last year more than the previous season.
Yeah?
It was a better all-around game. Like, I saw him making passes that he had never even tried before. I thought he was getting a little too easy to defend with his shot. Like, he would just come in, stick handle, toe drag, shot. Was, like, the only thing he was doing in that last year under Granato. He shot the puck 60-something fewer times last season and had the same amount of goals. Like, his shooting percentage actually went up by more than 3%, and he doubled his assist total.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.